At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help. So you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today is Wednesday, September 30th. What to know today about a chaotic first debate between President Trump and Joe Biden, the attacks from both sides, and why they each said they're the better choice for the American people. Also, two NFL teams get sidelined over a coronavirus outbreak as thousands of Disney theme park employees get laid off. Plus, Amazon Go shoppers start paying with their palms. A 94-year-old scientist breaks a record on Instagram. And high schoolers are stepping up as Election Day volunteers. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Well, after months of attacking one another from the campaign trail, President Trump and his Democratic challenger Joe Biden took their attacks to the debate stage. And to sum things up, reporters from both NBC and Fox News called it a grudge match, a train wreck, and a hot mess. The candidates talked over each other for nearly the entire 90 minutes, mostly with insults. President Trump went after Biden's intelligence, saying he graduated at the bottom of his college class. He also attacked Biden's son, Hunter Biden, over his business dealings in Ukraine. And Trump said he's done more in 47 months than Biden has done in 47 years. But there were plenty of punches thrown from the Biden side as well. He called Trump a racist, a clown, a liar, and at one point, Biden asked Trump to shut up. Biden called Trump the worst president America has ever had, saying America is sicker, weaker, poorer, and more divided after Trump's first term. There were so many interruptions that at one point, moderator Chris Wallace stopped the debate to remind President Trump that his campaign team had agreed to the ground rules of the debate. But besides all that fighting, let's talk about a few of the issues. First, the economy. Trump cast himself as the champion for reopening businesses after coronavirus shutdowns and knocked Biden's more cautious approach. The president declared people want their places open, to which Biden countered people want to be safe and called for more funding to allow for improved protocols. On race and violence in America, the moderator, Chris Wallace, asked President Trump to condemn white supremacists. Trump didn't really do that. Instead, he told one far-right group to, quote, stand back and stand by. And he said more violence comes from the far left than the right. But Biden pointed out Trump's own FBI director has said the threat comes from white supremacists. He was likely referring to the FBI director testifying earlier this month that in the last couple of years, the most deadly attacks on American soil have been carried out by white supremacists. Also, Trump argued Biden is not supportive enough of law enforcement. Biden pushed back, saying he believes most police are good, but the bad apples should be held accountable. And on the issue of voting itself, President Trump said he expects Supreme Court justices might be the ones to decide the election and, quote, look at the ballots. He again voiced concerns about mail-in ballots, and he urged his supporters to go watch what's happening in polling places. Biden focused on assuring Americans their vote will be counted no matter how they vote. He urged voters to make a plan, and he promised he'll accept the results, win or lose. This is just the first of three planned presidential debates, but next up, the first vice presidential debate between Vice President Mike Pence and Biden's running mate, Senator Kamala Harris. Election Day is now 34 days away, and already, in a lot of states, early in-person voting and mail-in voting is underway. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden and his wife Jill Biden released more tax returns yesterday. According to those documents, the couple reported an income of about $945,000 last year, and they paid more than $300,000 in federal income taxes. Biden has made decades worth of tax documents public before, but this latest release came 2 days after the New York Times published President Trump's tax information. So it's clear the Biden campaign is hoping to show some contrast. Remember, the Times reported Trump paid just $750 in both 2016 and 2017, and in 10 of the last 15 years, he paid no federal income tax at all. President Trump called the Times report made up and fake, though he hasn't released any tax documents himself. President Trump has been fighting to keep his taxes private for several years. New research shows the number of COVID-19 cases among children has been rising. The American Academy of Pediatrics and Children's Hospital Association put out a new study this week showing a sharp increase in childhood cases from the spring. Specifically, it said back in April, kids accounted for about 2.2% of all reported cases in the U.S. But as of last week, the figure is now up to 10%. Researchers agree that a child's age seems to factor into how likely they are to test positive for COVID-19. The CDC says older children, ages 12 to 17, are twice as likely to test positive than younger children, ages 5 to 11. The good news is it's still very rare for children of any age to die from the virus. As far as where or how kids are getting sick, this particular report did not specify. But health experts have told the AP the uptick probably falls in line with the overall community spread. There's new evidence one of the options for a COVID-19 vaccine is working well for older Americans. A small study found the Moderna vaccine, which is given in two shots, produced immunity in adults ages 56 to 70. Specifically, they produced virus-fighting antibodies in the same way they did with younger adults. And for the side effects, they were pretty much on par with high-dose flu shots. Some headache, fatigue, and body aches, but it was mostly described as mild to moderate. A Harvard Medical School professor who studies vaccines told USA Today this is very promising, especially since older people are at higher risk for the most severe cases of COVID-19. Remember, Moderna's vaccine is already in its final phase of testing, and in the first couple phases, it was proven to work well in adults 55 and younger. Now the test groups are much larger with tens of thousands of volunteers. It's considered a frontrunner among four vaccine candidates also in final stage trials. We could know by the end of next month how well it protects people from getting COVID-19. So stay tuned. All right, we have much more news ahead, but first, a quick break for our sponsor today. I love to work up a sweat, whether I'm taking an at-home workout class these days or getting out on the beach. But it's also so important to let our bodies recover, and that's why I love Liquid IV. When I have that thirsty feeling, a glass or bottle of water with Liquid IV mixed in always does the trick to make me feel refreshed and ready to take on the rest of the day. It contains 5 essential vitamins, and Liquid IV is healthier than many other sports drinks since it uses no artificial flavors or preservatives, and it has less sugar than an apple. It's made to help you hydrate more quickly and effectively than water alone. And you can choose from a bunch of different flavors. Plus, I love that Liquid IV is donating 3.7 million servings to hospitals, first responders, and more. So try it for yourself. Liquid IV is available nationwide at Costco and Target, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code NEWSWORTHY at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use the code NEWSWORTHY at liquidiv.com. Now, back to the news. Two NFL teams are having to shut down activities as the league faces its first coronavirus outbreak of the season. It's affecting the Tennessee Titans. 8 players and personnel have tested positive for COVID-19. The AP reports they're now in isolation and are being monitored, and the team canceled all in-person activities. And since they played the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday, that team also had to cancel in-person activities, even though none of their players or staff have tested positive. The NFL says it's going to do additional testing for both teams and keep an eye on the situation. Right now, no games have been impacted, but that could change. The Titans and Vikings are both scheduled to have their next games on Sunday. American theme parks are taking a big hit during the coronavirus pandemic, and now Disney is laying off 28,000 workers from Disneyland in California and Disney World in Florida. The Orlando parks are still limiting visitors, which is affecting the company's bottom line, and Disneyland in Anaheim, California, is still closed. The workers affected by the job cuts are mostly part-time. They were initially furloughed last spring, so they've since been collecting benefits, but no pay. Well, now they're officially losing their jobs. Disney told the Washington Post the layoffs are heartbreaking, but there's no other feasible options. Amazon is testing new technology that scans the palm of your hand as payment. It rolled this out at 2 of its Seattle Amazon Go stores, which have already been considered super high-tech convenience stores. Customers can now sync their palm scan to their credit card. Then anytime they come back, they just flash their hand over a scanner to get into the store and buy goods. Amazon says the scanner is secure, and at any time, customers can choose to have their data deleted. The company has big plans for this as well. In the future, it envisions palm scanning technology to be used in stadiums, offices, or other gated and secured locations. It's a new Instagram record. Sir David Attenborough has reached 1 million followers in record time. The 94-year-old broadcaster and natural historian did so in only 4 hours and 44 minutes, which is the fastest time ever. He obliterated the previous record held by actress Jennifer Aniston. And if you're not familiar, Sir David Attenborough has spent his life exploring the planet and documenting it for all of us to see. You may have heard his voice in documentaries like BBC's Planet Earth. And he's no stranger to setting records. He holds the Guinness World Record for the longest career as a TV presenter and the longest career as a television naturalist. His latest documentary project, A Life on Our Planet, will drop on Netflix next month. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Work Wednesday, when we break down one interesting career or work-related news story every Wednesday. And today, we're talking about the effort to get young Americans to be poll workers this election. Usually, poll workers are made up mostly of retirees. For example, NPR reports in 2018, 58% of them were over 60 years old. But many of the usual poll workers are backing away this year since COVID-19 is particularly harmful to senior citizens. So younger people are now stepping up, even if they're not old enough to actually vote. USA Today reports some volunteers are still in high school, yet they've signed up to be poll workers because they say it's a good way to help democracy. Still, more workers are needed. They can be difficult to recruit because oftentimes they have to put in 12-plus hour days and get minimal pay. That's why major companies like Old Navy, Target, and Warby Parker are paying their employees to be poll workers. And stars like LeBron James have formed organizations to recruit people. Facebook also joined the effort and estimates it's helped 100,000 people sign up for the job. We're talking more about this, along with voter trends this year and the most common voting questions, in this weekend's special edition Saturday episode, airing exactly 1 month ahead of Election Day. All right, thank you so much for listening today. And a quick note that it is International Podcast Day, so be sure to show your love for your favorite podcasts. Hopefully that includes The Newsworthy. And share these podcasts with your friends, family, and coworkers to let them know why listening to podcasts is so great. All right, we'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.